Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 61.
In this episode's Bits, we'll talk about Undaunted Normandy, Habitats, Dominion Online, and Mandalia. We'll discuss our hot topic, the Spiel des Jahres 2020. We'll kick it with Kickstarter and get up to all our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits.
Bits.
Good thing I'm not seeing your face for that.
I'm kind of hiding behind my microphone a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair. So
we're here for another amazing, incredible, mind-blowing episode.
Our 61.
I know.
Getting close.
We're getting close to the point where we should be better at this. And yeah, here we are at episode 61, doing a thing. Speaking of doing our thing. We have a lovely sponsor, Board Game Bliss, as you heard in the intro, and we have a code for all y'all for spending money. So go on over to Board Game Bliss, spend $100, get $5 off with the code ATB-TAKE5OFF100, and that's a limit of one use per customer.
Just one. Hey, that's a game.
That is a game. What? Speaking of games...
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Ooh, you have a question for me. Okay.
Okay. What? What is this? What is happening right now? All right. Okay, so this is why is my Google spreadsheets like going crazy on me right now?
I think because we're using video.
It's true, and I'm trying to see my comments, and I cannot. Okay, I'm just going to full screen it. All right. Okay, so I want you, I'm going to give you a name a game, and it's like, if you like this game, then you will like that game. If you like X, then you will like Y. Okay, it's going to be a lightning round, so like, don't take your time.
I have to, because I...
Go with the first thing.
I'm not, as the kids say, the smartest individual.
Okay. The good news is I started easy on you. This is the Gateway Edition.
Yeah.
Okay, so I picked a bunch of gateways.
Okay.
So I think because this is like a common topic in the board game world, it might be, you know, all right for you.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The first one is Dominion.
Clank.
Monopoly.
Stockpile.
Scattergories
is awesome. You don't need anything else for Scattergories. The newest edition of Scattergories.
Seven Wonders.
You want me to take a perfect game and...
Oh my god, I told you. Lightning, Sean!
Seven Wonders. Seven Wonders Duel.
Oh my goodness. Pandemic.
Go screw yourself. We'll talk about that now. Pandemic. Rescue Polar Bears.
Catan.
Takenoko.
Carcassonne.
Akrotiri.
Ticket to Ride.
Two player game. Ticket to Ride, hey?
Yep, that's all I said.
I don't know. That's a hard one.
That's not an answer. I need an answer.
Like looking the whole show too, all over my room to see what. Ticket to Ride. I don't know. What should I say for Ticket to Ride?
I don't know. This isn't my Ask Me Anything.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask.
Let's see. Network building. Or
brass.
There you go. Perfect.
That'd be really mean for someone who's just played and stick them in front of brass. But I'll go
I went from
brass.
Pandemic to Arkham Horror, so someone can go from Ticket to Ride to brass. Small World.
Small World. Oh, Small World. I don't even remember Small World.
Area control.
Yeah, Blood Rage.
On a map ish. Okay, and last one, King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo Dark.
No. You can't do additions of games.
Do that.
Take that, Dice Chucker.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like a Yahtzee game that you could do with dice. And I'm having trouble thinking of one. Let's say Black Angel. No, that doesn't work. Let's say the Dice Settlers. That's got lots of dice.
There you go.
That's nothing like it.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I am the best person in the world.
Nailed it.
All right, you ready for yours?
No.
Okay, well, we're doing random game again from BGG. We'll only do a couple this time in case they're really long. So I'll drop.
Hey, what is this? Am I supposed to remember something from a previous episode?
Yes, last episode we explored the random game feature on BGG.
Okay.
Where you just hit random game and it gives you a random game from the database. And I'm going to read it to you and you're going to tell me if you want to like burn it or keep or play it or buy it. All right, okay. You ready?
Yep.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. Geared, build your bike. This game came out in 2014. It's a bike building card game in which players race against one another to assemble bicycles and be the first to earn 1,000 points. It's got set collection in it.
So I have to keep it, burn it, or what?
You have to buy it, play it, or burn it.
Why would I buy it?
I don't know. You might be a real bike enthusiast.
Am I only allowed to pick one for each one? Like, yes. I mean, like, can the next one be play it or buy? Okay, fine, whatever. I'll play it. I'll build a bike. Sure, why not?
Build a bike. Okay.
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
It could be a bad game. That's
that's true.
Sounds short. I'll play it.
It's 20 minutes. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's got 10 comments on BGG. Okay, let's do another one. Let's see. This one is, oh my gosh, Spanish-American War, 2012.
Burn it.
Just say burn it. Okay, one more. Here we go. Last one. I hope it's something we've heard of or that has more than zero.
I hope not. I hope you find something.
There are way too many. Oh my gosh. Okay. Racetrack, again with the racing. It's according to Sid Saxon's A Gamut of Games. Players secretly draw cards to indicate which horse will win points for them. Then a race is run. Players throwing dice and moving the horse, matching the number on one of the dice, the distance of the other. Oh my gosh.
Well, that sounds very similar to other games I've played.
Card drafting / dice rolling game.
I shall play it because I have bought other games that are like that. I prefer a car theme over horses.
Okay.
Nay. But like nay is a no, but like nay because it's horses.
Wait, so are you playing it or burning it?
I'll play it. Sure.
Play it.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
No time, no age, and no weight on BGG.
Perfect.
It's also the publisher. Wait, the best part. The publisher is Enjoyable Hour Products.
Enjoyable Hour Products. Wow. Yeah. That's quite the name.
That's a very impressive name. I'm
very. It kind of reminds me of our the name of our bits because it's very self-explanatory. Except Pew Pew, that one just whatever. Hey,
speaking of self-explanatory bits,
do.
I'm sure that sound effect was super self-explanatory, man.
This is our guess the game bit, wherein we give each other vague, then specific, then super obvious clues from the Board Game Geek to guess a game, and we ask that you guess along with us.
All right, are you ready to guess first?
Sure.
Okay. Here. This game came out in 2019. It, I'm not going to tell you what it plays. It plays in 30 to 45 minutes and has a weight of 1.92. It's designed by Jordi Adon with art by Luis Francisco and Luca Ribeiro.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It is a...
Did you see how long it played or the player count?
No, because I can't tell you. I can tell you how long it plays, 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I think you might have already said that. Okay.
The player count is a little too...
is it just one?
It is not just one.
Well, it should be.
Maybe. If just one was a fantasy under the category fantasy / territory building, it would be just one.
Is it Ethnos?
It is not. Ethnos came out
way before. Yeah, I think Ethnos is years old. Okay,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, keep going.
All right, these will probably give it away for you, but that's okay. The mechanisms are bingo, grid coverage.
Oh, Tiny Towns.
No.
What? You're wrong.
Line drawing. And
bingo and line drawing?
Yeah, and paper and pencil.
Is it Cartographers?
It is Cartographers, a role player tale.
How is Cartographers bingo?
I don't really, I guess because do you call things out in Cartographers?
Yeah, you flip a card. So is that what they're calling flipping rights? Bingo? I think
bingo, maybe. Yeah, it might be.
Oh, wow.
Or whoever entered it in here didn't enter it properly.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, I guess I could see it. It kind of makes sense. Like you said, you call something out and then you do that thing on your sheet. Yeah.
You just do that thing.
You just do that thing.
That seems to be top bingo games on BGG are Cartographers, Karuba, Ecos, Rise of the Roll to the Top. I don't know what that is.
Cool. I was not aware that the word bingo is associated with that mechanism. I've just always heard like flipping, right? So.
Right, yeah.
Cool. All right, are you ready for this one? This one should be easy for you. So if you don't get it right away, I'm just going to give up on you basically forever and ever. All right. This one was published in 2014 and has a rating of 7.5 with 53,000 ratings, Sean. 53,000.
Yeah. I'm supposed to know this, right, based on that? Seven Wonders.
No, I don't know. No, it's not Seven Wonders.
No, I don't know. I don't know what this game is.
I mean, like, maybe? No. Plays 2 to 4 players in 30 minutes and has a weight of 1.8.
It's not Codenames, is it? That came out after.
No. Yeah, Codenames is later.
Okay.
The type is family.
Okay.
Mechanisms, card drafting, contracts, and set collection.
No, it's not Sushi Go. Card drafting, contracts?
And set collection, yep.
It's not Ticket to Ride's been a little longer than that. Am I supposed to know it now?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that you should. I mean, you should have known it like 3 minutes ago.
Okay.
All right, mechanisms. Oh, wait, I already did mechanisms. Categories. It's a card game.
Really?
It's economic. And it's apparently themed with the Renaissance. Who knew?
Oh, really? It's not like San Juan. That's not even a card drafting game. Card drafting.
It's in the family. I'm starting to get confused between categories, mechanisms, and families. I think I need to like figure that out. But the family is tableau building.
So you draft a card and you lay it out in front of you in some manner. You sure it's not Sushi Go? Because I feel like it is.
My goodness, it is. I don't know how to read.
That was totally
no, it's not Sushi Go.
Sushi in the Renaissance. Come on. No, I got nothing.
This is a joke that you always go to. It's like one of your games that you always joke with. You're like one of those.
Just like Splendors, the Splendor.
Yeah.
2014.
Everything is Splendor.
Like Splendor. Everything's like Splendor.
6 years already.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen this other game that's just like Splendor that came out? That's got like the same like little mini tokens like Splendor. What's it called? Like Ankh? No, not Ankh.
Oh,
like,
Ankh?
Yeah, something like Ankh.
Officially the worst. Okay, so everyone always complains about bad game demos at cons. And I was like, oh, it can't be that bad. I had the worst experience with this game getting a game demo. The guy did not care. He did not know how to play the game. He taught us all wrong.
Oh, gosh.
And then his coworker came by and she was like, what are you doing? We were like, oh, we don't really know.
I,
and then
I remember, I think you told me that. Yeah.
Oh, it was so frustrating. I was like, now I understand.
So Splendor's better then is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is you guys, it does make a difference if you get somebody who knows how to play and teach the game for the demo.
That's usually, hey, speaking of knowing or not knowing how to play a game.
Uh-huh.
Pew, 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 pew. We're gonna pew pew some games.
Wherein we explain games poorly and then tell you what we think of them after play or more using our super, super official scale. Which, Sean, what is it?
Well, that's one would be that would be a hard no. Two would be, meh. Three would be, I mean, it's fine. Four would be, 'tis a gooder. And five, which Michelle gives to like every game she plays, it's got the spark.
To be clear, not every game I play. Every mid-Euro game, weight game I play.
Every beige game.
Yeah.
Every game that makes you feel like you're colorblind, not that there's anything wrong with that, that's the game that Michelle gives a five. Or a spark.
Exactly. Rainbows are beige, right?
Sure.
Sparkles are beige. Yeah.
That's fair. All right. Who's going first here?
Why don't I start? All right.
It's a game that's not beige at all.
No. But it's not pretty either. And that's Habitats. So I'm just loading up the my BGG here. So this is actually an older release. It came out in 2016. I think it's on its third version now. It has a rating of 7.4 with 1,100 ratings. It plays 2 to 5 players in 30 to 50 minutes and has a weight of 2.33. It's designed by Corne van Morsel, art by Stephen Tu, and publisher is Siwali. And this is kind of timely. I've actually had my eye on this game for a while. And then Nova Luna, which is one of the nominees for the Spiel this year, was actually inspired by this game. Uwe basically got this guy's permission to take the mechanism and use it in Nova Luna. So anyway, I've always been interested in this and finally got a chance to play it a few times. This is a tile drafting, tile laying game. And what you're trying to do is get points. So, yeah. So that's how you play the game. No.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So there's a kind of a few unique things. So there's a grid. You're building a park and you're putting animals in it. So most of the tiles are animals. There's a few that are flowers, and then each tile also has a landscape type. And so the kind of the innovative aspect of this game, I think is this middle grid where you draft the tiles from. So the way when you set up the grid, you actually set it up with your meeple. You have this huge chunky meeple, and he gets put into the grid, and then you're allowed to draft tiles that are orthogonally adjacent to said meeple. And then when you move your guy to grab that tile, you actually point his feet. So you lay him down and you point his feet in the direction that you came from. And then your next turn, you're not actually allowed to draft where the feet are pointing. So basically, you're not allowed to draft the tile that gets replaced and is brand new and might be like super great for you.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is kind of neat because it forces you to plan a little bit, and you know, kind of takes away from that, like, ooh, a tile comes out and suddenly it's perfect and you can just go grab it your next turn. And then the way the tile laying works is you can place pretty much anything as long as it's orthogonally adjacent. There's a few tiles that will give you points and basically block off edges of the tile so you can't place around there, but it's pretty straightforward in terms of placement. And then each tile has a specific requirement on it in order for it to score. And the requirements are around landscape types. So you might like draft a gorilla and the gorilla needs, say, 2 forest and 2 water. And so the way it works is the areas connect. So you might have a water that's orthogonally adjacent on the bottom, and then that water is orthogonally adjacent to another water, etc. So that counts as 2, for example. And so you're just trying to complete these requirements and maximize your points as much as possible. So when you get, like, when I would say would draft the gorilla, he would go upside down. And then once I met the requirements, you just flip them over so you can kind of see, you know, what you're meeting and what you're not meeting. And then there are also, the game's broken into 3 rounds. Each round is just dictated by a number of turns. And then at the end of each round, there's 2 objective cards or 2 goal cards, basically, and you assess whoever's doing the best on those, and they get bonus points. And it depends on the player count, how many points there are, if second place gets anything, you know, that typical sort of thing. And the goals are based around, longest row, maybe longest diagonal, largest area, most different types of areas, like that, you know, kind of exactly what you would expect from this type of game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the game. The bits are good. I got the 3rd edition. I have no idea what the 1st and 2nd editions have or what changes have been made between them. But the one that I have, it's got, it's good quality. There's not a lot to it. Like, it's mostly just tiles, but those meeples that you use are nice and big and chunky. Great insert. Everything fits, everything has a spot. And the rule book's really good. You like pick it up and it's super thick, but it's because it's in a bunch of languages. It's like maybe two to four pages. Like, it's not long at all, which is great. The art, I don't really like. I could see some people liking it, but I just don't find it that appealing. I would say it's slightly bordering on the ugly side of things, but it's clear. It's easy to see what you need to see. So they've done a good job with that. Like I said, I think the grid selection is pretty interesting. It kind of helps with like grabbing the latest and greatest with luck in terms of like tile flips and whatnot. And it encourages you to plan, which is good. But sometimes I found it almost too tight. Like, there's not enough options for what you can do because you're so limited to, orthogonal adjacent, like not even diagonal. And then you can't go where you came from. So, it's pretty limiting. You can jump over other people's meeples.
Okay.
But I didn't find, like, in a 2-player game, I didn't find that came up a lot. Maybe it would come up more in a 4-player game, but the grid also grows with player count. So yeah, I'm not sure. I liked the spatial puzzle, maximizing points. It didn't feel super unique, but it's still fun. Like, it's a good little puzzle. Like, oh, you know, should I grab that and where should I put it? And trying to make sure everything, lines up as best as you can, you know, sacrificing where you need to. And I'm glad that with how tight the grid is in the middle, you have a lot of flexibility with where you can lay your tiles in your tableau. Like, there's not really that many restrictions, which is good. I would have liked, like I said, because it was tight and I felt like sometimes you were kind of stuck and it was hard to like move across the grid. For example, if a tile came up that you really wanted, I missed a mechanism that is in a lot of drafting games, which is getting rid of whatever you get for, say, a point or whatever. This did not have that and I missed it. Like, just the ability to say, okay, I'm just going to toss this tile and take a point. I don't know if the point would be unbalanced or whatever, but anyways, there was no mechanism around that. I did find it slightly repetitive and not super interesting on repeated plays because it's kind of like, you're not really going to see anything different. The goals aren't that interesting in terms of like, ooh, this is going to really change things up, you know? So, like, it's really nice, but it's something you'd only want to pull out, like, once in a while. Yeah. I like counting all my points at the end. So you don't, like, the only... Well, you know, it's like, you know, there's some of those games where you're like, and then I get 5 points here, yeah. And I get five. And it's just kind of like you kind of feel that you get that feeling of like, ooh, I actually had fun with that with this game in particular. I don't know why. But yeah, at 40 minutes, it says 40 minutes with up to five players. I think it would probably take longer because I think this game could suffer from AP because you're trying to plan out the grid movement and you're trying to figure out, okay, so that guy needs this, but then that guy needs this. And what if I did this, you know? But if it played at 40 minutes with up to five players, I do think that this is a very solid tile laying filler game. And it works for gamers because it has some depth. Which is nice. But yeah, it's just not a game I would want to like play a bunch. But not every game in my collection needs to fit that requirement. So there you go. I am going to give Habitats. Can you guess based on that review?
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, a 3. Nice guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
I applaud you.
BGG says best at, the community says best at 2 to 3.
Oh, does
it? Yeah, kind of the way you described it. That's kind of what I feel like this doesn't sound like it would be great at 5. And I think you're right. It would be drag and be annoying.
Yeah, it would take, I think, like I said, it's pretty repetitive, right? Yeah. And there's not like a ton of buildup. There isn't like a good cadence, if you will, of the game. So yeah, if it was dragging, it'd be long. Uh-huh. So that's Habitats.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, it's a bad choice of sound effect for this game. My first pew-pew is Undaunted Normandy, which came out in 2019. I may have discussed this on the show. I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to discuss it in a new light, actually. Came out in 2019. It's a two-player game, plays in 40 to 60 minutes, and has a weight of 2.20. It was designed by Trevor Benjamin and David Thompson, with art by Roland McDonald. I almost said Ronald McDonald. Roland McDonald, published by Osprey Games. So for those of you who don't know, this is a deck building game, also based on, basically it's an abstract game with a deck building mechanic on top of it. And what you're doing is, during this game, one side is going to be the Germans, and the other side are going to be the Alliance or the Americans in World War II and the Battle of Normandy. And you are going through different scenarios. So it's got a variety of scenarios in the book, and you can go just based on playing a game of it, or you can go through the whole scenario logbook that has some theme and tells you what each battle is about. And because of this, actually, there are different objectives for each scenario in the book, which is really neat. And it kind of escalates and follows the timeline of World War II, of the Battle of Normandy. And what you are doing in the game is you are going to have some chits that are just kind of on the grid, on the player, not the grid, it's not actually that much of a grid, on the player board that you make that's modular. That's the word I'm looking for. There's a modular player board that you set up according to the scenario. And then you put your chits on it based on what the scenario tells you. And you have a variety of different ones. So you might have riflemen and scouts. You might have some machine gunners. There are a couple other ones as you get more and more into the campaign as well. Each side kind of has pretty much the same, but the layout is different depending what scenario you're on. And once you have these chits out on the board, of course, you have to move them. And you move them via the deck building in the game. So each character, each card is going to have something. Like the scout lets you, everyone can pretty much attack in the game, but the scout is going to let you scout ahead. So if you play a scout card, you get to move your scout, let's say, 2 spaces forward, and then you get to put a scout token, which allows your other units, your other chits, to move on to those spaces. So your chits can't move unless an area has been scouted. So you're playing that. Everyone plays their card. There's a battle for initiative at the beginning of each round where everyone has to sacrifice one of their 4 cards, and whoever has the higher one, or if it's a tie, whoever previously had initiative will get initiative. So you get rid of a car, card, there are these things called Fog's War, which you have in any deck building game that clog up your deck. And something to keep in mind that I forgot the first few times I played this is that when your scout goes ahead and scouts somewhere new, you get Fogs of War in your deck. There are different ways to get rid of Fogs of War. And then when you're attacking someone, it's a dice rolling mechanic. Basically, you roll your dice and you kind of use how much defense a certain unit has, plus if they're on a hill, and there might be some other things. There's range as well that determines if you hit them. That's pretty much kind of what the game does. Each scenario might be different. Like one scenario, you might be trying to get objective tokens. Another scenario, you might be trying to off the other countries, all their units of a certain type. You might be trying to pin them down. As you go on in the scenario, there are different things. There's a fair bit of variability in the game, which is really neat. The reason I've been into this so much lately is that it plays really well over something like Zoom or Skype or Facebook or whatever. Because all you need is, I think you can actually play it without two people having the game with only one copy if you kind of are okay having some proxies. But in order to play this game, one person needs to set up the board. And you can follow along if you want to mirror it, and then you just need the cards, and you play the cards. And so it works perfectly over a digital environment. I played it, I think, 5 times now in the last couple of weeks over this environment, which is nice because it lets you actually have a two-player game. And again, I've played this a couple times with my wife because she's a World War II kind of enthusiast. I don't know if that's a nice thing to say about someone or not, but she's into World War II stuff, history. So we've played it a couple times, but if you want, it works really well over this environment. I enjoy the game a lot. I really like it. I like that. I think it's the same designer or based on War Chest, that AEG game, but it adds a deck building mechanic on top of it, which you had me a deck building, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The bits are nice. They're just like kind of regular chits. I love the art in it. It's kind of got like that watercolory, like if you think of like a graphic novel set in like the World War II time, it's got like that kind of color on it. They've done something neat where all the cards in the game have names on them, but they're not actual people. They're either playtesters or they're names that were popular. They're not based on anyone, but it adds a nice level of realism to the game too, if you're going to have a World War II. And like I said, they try and include a fair bit of theme in the rule book, which is nice. I really like the rule book. It's got lots of examples. There's a scenario book that really kind of describes everything for you as well. There's some other mechanics, which I'm not really going to get into, but the game as a whole, it's got a nice insert too, though I didn't end up chucking it because I got annoyed that the pieces would keep exploding on me when I would take them out. But in terms of gameplay, I really like it. I really enjoy it. It's definitely a solid 4. It's a gooder, I think. And again, anything that works in this environment for me, and that will work over a digital platform, I'm with actual bits that I can fondle and touch and that I could play with another human being, I really adore. And like I said, if you really wanted to, if one person had the game, if they could like have their camera set up on the game, you really could just print off pictures of your cards and slap them on a deck, like some cards from a deck, and just play that, because you and one person just moves around all the chits and everything. So it's possible to play it with only one copy too. So and there's something else. I know there's an expansion. I think it's a standalone as well, set in Africa, coming out that adds like vehicles to it. Don't know when that'll be out. But I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, I really, 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 really enjoyed this game. I played it a few times and then recently started playing it a ton and have been kind of smitten with it.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard really good things.
Yep.
Cool.
Undaunted Normandy. I think that kind of name, I guess they have Normandy in there. The name was my like only issue really with the game. I think the reason I didn't give it the spark, just FYI, is kind of as much as I enjoy it. I think kind of once I'm done the campaign, I don't know how much I'll go back to it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But it's still, that's a for a game that's wasn't terribly expensive, that's a fair bit of play in there that you can get, even if you just go with the campaign. So
for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You talked about how you threw out the insert, and it made me think of one of the things that you always complained about and I never understood, and now I'm like, oh, you were so right, is board game slip covers.
Oh, the worst.
Worst. They're the worst. Awful. They're awful. Okay.
Horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. My next pew is Mandala, which came out in 2019, has a current rating of 7.7 with 900 ratings on BGG. It plays two. Look at us with our two-player games. in 20 minutes. And has a weight of 1.86. This, designed by Trevor Benjamin and Brett J. Gilbert. Art, I didn't know this, by Clemens Franz. And published by Lookout Games.
Mm-hmm.
This is a card game. It says it's abstract strategy, in which you are trying to get points by through set collection, I would say. This is card drafting, hand management. This is a bit of a hard game to explain. And in one of those games that, you just kind of have to play it. And then after a few turns, it clicks. But I will do my best.
All right.
So picture in front of you two mandalas, two circles side by side. And the circle's divided into three horizontally. And there's a piece by you, that's your tableau or spot. There's a spot by your opponent, that's their tableau. And then right in the middle there is what's called the mountain. And that's where you place cards that are going to score. So the deck is comprised of six suits. I don't know how many. I think they're evenly spread. But there's six different colors. And each mandala can only have one color, one of each color, and wherever you put the color, it has to stay there. So, for example, if I put red on my side, red can only ever go on my side. You can never play red onto my side. And so what you can do is you can play cards on your side, and you can play one color and as many as you want into one mandala. And that's a bit of area control, which I'll explain. Or you can place cards into the middle. This mountain is what they call it. And you can only place one of those, one card. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually draw up to three. So there's a benefit of placing in the middle because it allows you to get more cards into your hand. And then you can also discard any cards of a color, any number of cards of a color, and draw back up. So if your hand is crap, that's a way to do it. Once a mandala has all six colors represented in one of the three regions, I can't remember what it calls it, but basically you take it apart. You look at how many cards are on your side and how many cards are on your opponent's side. And whoever has the most gets to pick one of the card colors from the middle. So all the greens or all the blacks or all the reds or whatever. And then you just keep going back and forth. And then you get to score those cards, basically. So you have in front of you, you have six slots, one for each color. So if this is the first time you get red, you have to put one of your red cards into the first slot that's available. And then the rest go into your scoring cup later. These six slots are numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, meaning that if you put black in your spot one, any black card you get on for the rest of the game will be worth 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And green in two, then all your green cards at the end of the game will be worth two. So once you've gotten rid of all the cards, or someone's filled up all of their six spots in front of them, the game ends and you basically go through your pile of cards you've collected. And based on where you've put cards in your six slots, that tells you how many points each card is worth. Okay. It's kind of hard to explain, but but it's actually quite simple. Once you've played it a few times. So that's the game of Mandala. They tried, so as always, I'll start with bits, right? So they tried to make this game really pretty. Mandala. I mean, that's such a simple thing to make very gorgeous. And they actually, it actually comes with a cloth mat for playing on, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. That looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I felt like, sorry, Clemens Franz, because I do love your art. I felt like it was a bit of a failure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The cloth mat is kind of bland and the cards are like nice, but again, they could have been so much colorful. I don't know. I just felt like it was could have been so much better. And then yeah, the player aid is, I mean, I think they went for language friendly, or so there's like no, yeah, there's no words, but it's not the best. And some of the iconography it uses to indicate different aspects of the board are not, don't really make sense. They don't match the colors that you would see, for example. It's a pretty simple game, so it's not a huge deal. But like I said, it can be a little bit convoluted. So when you're trying to explain it to somebody and they're looking at a player aid and they're like, what, why is this yellow? And there's no yellow on the board. You're like, okay. Right?
Yeah.
So not a big deal, but, you know, there you go. Speaking of the rules, they're super well laid out. You know, like I said, the game can be a little bit convoluted to explain, but, you know, it doesn't take too long for it to click. And the rules are, like, they've done a very good job of, like, okay, this is one thing. And then within the one thing, you have three things, step one, two, three. And it's very easy to reference, very well written. So that's great. I love card games. I'll just put that out there right now. Like, I love, love, love card games. There's something about it. And I find some card games can be kind of obtuse, you know, where you're like, okay, I think I know how to score, but like, I'm not really quite sure. It might take a few plays for it to kind of reveal itself, you know? I felt like this game was not that, but it was like right on that edge of being too obtuse, but then it clicks and it's like friendly enough. So, okay. I don't know how else to explain it, but yeah, it's like, it feels like it's just right on that border, which I think is perfect. The game feels really tight because you have a lot of tough decisions to make. You only have X number of cards, you know, you can only play certain cards in certain places. But you still feel like you have options and can control your outcome, which is really nice. Like, you don't just feel like, oh, it's really tight and now I'm stuck and there's nothing I can do. It's like, you still have options. You can still really control your outcome. Yeah, there's tension and you might have to give a little to get a little, but, yeah, I liked that about the game. It has really great tension, trying to anticipate what your opponent's going to do, you know, setting yourself up without helping them too much, like all of that great stuff from a 2-player game. It reminds me a lot of, Hana Mikoji, and Arboretum, actually, those two. Yeah, okay. Which are two of my, like, ultimate favorite card games. So, and the other great thing is, you know, the board is, like, really nice, but I feel like if you've played this before a few times and we're traveling with somebody, you wouldn't actually even need the mat or whatever. So it would just be a deck of square cards. So in that way, it's a really great travel game. Yeah, so I really enjoyed my plays of this. I just think it's a really, really solid game for one of those, you know, lighter filler 2-player card games. And I'm going to rate this a 4. Tis a gooder. And if it was a little bit more appealing visually and I wasn't annoyed by all the wrinkles in the mat while I was playing, it would probably have the spark because apparently I'm that shallow. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I really like it.
I mean, you know, you could just bust out an iron and like go over it. Can't, I don't know.
I've considered it.
Have you really?
Yeah. But then I'm like, well, then what am I going to do? Hang up the mat?
Yes.
No, I'm going to fold it and put it back in the box. Like, no one's ironing every time. I'm not ironing every time I have to pull out a game. So, yeah.
I should make a note. I feel like that's probably our show title. I'm ironing every time I pull out
Come a game. On. Yeah. All right. Shall we move on to our hot topic?
Wait, I haven't talked about my other pew pew.
Oh yeah, we still have another pew pew.
Calm down. People want to know about Dominion Online.
Do they now?
Yes, we want to know about Dominion Online. Although I'm slightly PO'd right now. Okay. So I mean, if you have asked me amongst the many, many things that are going on, No, actually, not really. But, you know, I would be shocked to tell you 6 months ago that my most played game by a landslide in 2020 is Dominion. And I played it well over 30 times right now already.
Nice.
And that's because I've been doing tons of gaming on Dominion.games, which is Dominion Online. It is an absolutely amazing implementation. It is terrific. It is actually so nice to have. I guess I've been out of the Dominion loop for the last couple of years. So I wasn't even aware of this website until
I've never heard of it.
We all got locked down. And then I kind of discovered it and I was like, oh my goodness. Like I feel like I've been complaining about not having an actual like proper digital implementation of Dominion for years. Because I feel like that would have been a nice thing to have. And apparently this has been around for quite some time and it is awesome. So the way it works, you sign up for an account, just like any of these online thingamabobs. And what you do is if you have a free account, so this actually, I think, must have just recently changed. For the last however long I've been playing, if you had a free account, every day, I think every day or 2 days, you would have access to the base game, no matter what, and then a rotating expansion. I've played Menagerie, which is the newest expansion on here. I've played, you know, Renaissance. I played Empires, which is one of the better expansions. I played a bunch of them with my free hosting with my free account. But now it seems like only the base is for your free account, which is kind of annoying. They must have got rid of that to make more money. The way the subscription works is that if you want the silver subscription, it's like €2 a month. And that entitles you to choose half of the expansions. If you want the gold subscription, you get everything, and that's like €4 a month. It's a European thingamabob, but much like your Board Game Arena or anything on Tabletop Simulator, that's premium. As long as one person owns it, then everyone can play. So you don't have to be a premium member to get it. Just a little annoyed right now that they seem to have taken that off.
Yeah, especially right now.
Yeah. Anyway, the one thing I will say above all else that's awesome about this is it actually makes me appreciate things like Nocturne, which when I played it physical, it was a horrible, awful experience because it was so fiddly and there was so much going on. And, you know, the nice thing about the digital implementation is I played Nocturne a few times and really enjoyed it digitally because it takes care of all the fiddliness for you.
Right.
So having the computer, that's a nice thing too. And then you hook it up with either like Zoom. I've done it on Zoom, and I've done on Discord. I've even with my friend, she didn't want to do anything, so we spoke on WhatsApp on the phone as we played the game. So we kind of hook it up with some voice, and you know, you have a nice Dominion experience, which is really nice. So my rating, obviously, Dominion has the mega, super, huper, duper, mega spark for me, obviously. But specifically about this implementation, even though they've gotten rid of your ability to get the expansion for free, or rotating expansion, I'm still going to say Dominion.games definitely has a spark for me. It's
cool.
If you want to play Dominion, it's a really good, like, it's something I could see myself doing when I could play Dominion with actual human beings.
Yeah, yeah. And you said you played the latest expansion. So.
Yeah, Menagerie. I really enjoyed it. It was really, like, they simplified things a lot from, like, some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. They introduced, like, animals, like horses, which are, like, one-time cards that you can use. But there's not, like, a ton of new stuff in it. It's kind of like one of those more of the same, which is nice for Dominion, because I think Dominion has had, especially in recent years, like a lot of like feature creep where they're just kind of like throwing in crap and just like trying to make it stick to add new things to it. And then it's like really difficult to play.
Okay.
They use that new stuff. And the nice thing about Menagerie, it seems like they got back to kind of basics a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah, that sounds like a good direction.
I agree. I hope they stick with that.
Yeah, here's hoping. Cool. Right. I've only ever played the first two expansions, but whenever I see somebody with like all of them in a suitcase, I'm like, oh, that looks so good.
Like, so I would take my whole game night just figuring out what to play, although there are apps for it, but
yeah.
Alrighty. Now we could go on to our hot pocket.
Hot topic.
Which is a big one.
Yeah, Spiel des Jahres 2020, and this bit is where we talk about something so hot that even the sun can't touch this. Na 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 na
na. Did I ever tell you that the first music cassette I owned as a human being was Can't Touch This?
Really? Mine was Clumsy by Our Lady Peace.
Oh, well then.
Yeah.
All right.
So I've linked in our show notes, or our show notes, not the bits or show notes, to the wiki page. So yeah. I'll give you guys some history. Why am I saying y'all? Like, I'm not.
I don't know.
That's not even a Canadian thing. What's happening? All right. Give you some history.
We'll do to you.
Huh?
I think.
Sorry?
I said the things the apocalypse will do to you.
Oh. Start talking with the southern accent. Y'all. Maybe I missed Stampede. Maybe that's the problem. All right. So the Spiel des Jahres, or the SDJ, is a yearly game award that came out or comes out from Germany. It started in apparently 1978. With the purpose of rewarding excellence in game design and promoting top quality games in the German market. Mm-hmm. And this is typically given, well, there's a Spiel, and now there's a Kenner and a Kinder. So a Kenner is a connoisseur, so more advanced, and Kinder is for kids. Mm-hmm. And the Spiel typically goes to lighter games. It says here the criteria on which a game is evaluated are: so they look at the game concept, originality, playability, and game value. They look at the rule structure, so composition, clearness, and comprehensibility. They look at the layout, so the box, the board, and the rules. And then the design, the functionality, and workmanship.
Uh-huh.
And let's see. Does it say how big the...
committee?
The jury is. I don't see it. Yeah, so there's a jury of people from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and they review games basically for 12 months and then come out with their nominees and some recommendations, and then ultimately one wins and sells a lot of copies. So it's a very, very good thing for a publisher and a designer to get the Spiel.
Yes, definitely. And are we going to talk about the Kinner Spiel, or are we just going to do like Spiel and Kenner, or
Kinder? Yeah, probably. Sorry. I mean, we can maybe name them, so if people want to like hear the names of them, but I don't know any of them.
I don't know them, but I want that game with the hedgehog that got nominated, which is just like a tennis ball in the shape of the hedgehog that you roll around the board.
What? Yeah. Okay, well, let's just start with the Kinderspiel then, so that we can just get it out of the way, because you're already talking about hedgehog heads rolling.
Hedgehog roll.
So
cool. I go right towards the Kinderspiel.
You're like,
but I saw this game. It's like you roll this, like, I think it's like a tennis ball or a hockey ball or something that's got like a hedgehog on it, and you have to roll it across the board, and you pick up like fruits and vegetables and stuff that are Velcro, so they attach onto it.
This does sound good.
Amazing.
That does sound good. I would play that. And then what else do we have? So that's Hedgehog Roll, also known, it says, as Speedy Roll. And this is designed by Ertis Silinskas and published by Lifestyle Board Games.
There you go. Yep.
And then there's Versine de Roboter. We are the robots.
We are the robots, yeah.
Designed by Reinhard Staupe and published by NSV.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a cooperative game that involves moving a robot at different speeds to reach a secret destination and figuring out what your teammates mean when they say slow, normal, and fast.
I think it's kind of a programming-esque type game. I might be wrong, though, but yeah.
These actually sound fun, but this is the thing. Anything can sound good on paper. You know what I mean?
Tennis ball game is going to be good, man.
Yes, that's definitely a Sean game.
Yeah, 100%. And then,
all right. Yeah, and what's the third? What's the last one?
Photo Fish by Michael Kallock. It's a game about getting photos of specific combinations of fish using a little camera frame that you move around a a seascape filled with different fish.
Cool. They all sound fun.
Yeah. They usually are. The Kinder Games, I always like comb through the you know, not only the nominees, but then all the, because they release recommendations as well. So all the recommendations too. And I usually go go crazy with them. So
cool.
But now let's get on
to look a little more.
Let's get on to what people care about.
All right. Do you want to do Kenner next? Or
I guess so, yeah, because the regular spiel is, I guess, the main event for this.
Okay.
But all right. I guess for us and probably a lot of people, it's actually the Kenner. But
yeah, for sure. Actual. Yeah, I definitely prefer the Kenner. All right, so three games. Cartographers, a Role Player Tale by Jordi Adden and published by Pegasus Spiel. The Crew, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast, by Thomas Singh and published by Cosmos. And then lastly, The King's Dilemma, Lorenzo Silva, Hjalmar Hawk, and Carlo Borelli, published by Horrible Guild.
Yep.
So thoughts generally, like what?
I was like going back and forth whether, well, Cartographers, I figured would definitely be here nominated. The Crew, I thought it would be, I knew it would be nominated and it's going to win. I think, I personally think, by a landslide. I didn't know if it would be a Kenner or a Spiel. I guess as you get on in the rounds and The Crew becomes a little more, complicated. But yeah, I feel like most of the votes are going to go for those two, for Spiel. For Kenner Spiel is going to go for Cartographers and The Crew. I mean, they're both really, really good. If the Cartographers could get Sean off his hatred for Role/Flippin' Rights and get him to actually thoroughly enjoy one of those games, it's a good game. And I don't know much about King's Dilemma other than I really want to play it. But it is a legacy game, so who knows?
Yeah. And I think Legacy Game has won in the past.
Yes.
I feel like Pandemic Legacy won.
Yeah. Yep.
Season 1 won once.
I can't imagine The Crew not winning, but I don't
know.
I'm not German and I'm not that familiar with it out there, but.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's like, it's a different, different culture, different, anyways, media probably that, hype things, right? I was surprised. I felt like there were a lot of, I mean, I always just hope for good medium weight Euros, and I know they have put them in there before, like Terraforming Mars has been in there. Trying to look at past ones. Heaven and Ale.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually some lighter fare too, but that, I mean, that's what I'm always excited about, right? Yeah. So it was a little disappointing. I think I've lost a little bit. I'm a little out of touch about how complicated games maybe might be. Like, I think you just get so used to rules, and complicated games that you lose a sense of what's actually complicated to a standard person. Mm-hmm. Like, I agree, The Crew, I was like, really? That's a Kenner? But I was listening to Man versus Meeple talk about these, and, you know, they were saying that trick-taking is actually, they think, anyways, can be kind of complicated for people if they've never played, and, you know, Suit and Trump and Following, and I'm like, yeah, I guess so, and I am often taken aback, like, if I'm playing with, And this doesn't happen a lot to me, so maybe that's part of it. But when I play with people who don't usually play games, I'm always like taken aback by how complicated something might seem. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess if you've never been introduced to this concept before, it is different.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, my point being, I think I've lost touch with like
you're out of touch.
With someone who is not a gamer, because I think that those are not heavy games, but. I think they're both great games, and mm-hmm. I think they're good choices. And let's see. Game concept, originality, mm-hmm. I think The Crew for sure. Rule structure, layout and design. Yeah, I think maybe for that. If I look at the criteria, I think Cartographers would take it, but I think based on popularity alone, I think The Crew would take it.
I don't know if this means anything. I honestly don't know. So I feel like I'm kind of speaking out of turn, and I don't know if this would affect cartographers or not, the fact that it's an American game. You know, from an American company that was out. Cartographers, I feel like it's been out forever at this point.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
In Germany, it probably didn't come out until recently. That's why initially when I was like seeing people's predictions and stuff, everyone was saying cartographers. And I was like, oh, hasn't that been out forever at this point? So I'm kind of, I don't know if like being an American, you know what I mean, if that affects things or not.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, and I should have mentioned that as well with the explanation is the game has to be in German. Mm-hmm. So there are some games that would probably win but don't because they are not in German.
Mm-hmm. What I found really interesting, actually, is that for Kenner Spiel, they do, as we said, they do recommendations as well. And Paladins of the West Kingdom and Underwater Cities were both recommended as part of the recommend, and as well as Res Arcana, too, which is a game I really like. But you know, those are two on the higher, especially Paladins, on the higher scale of medium, you know, weight type things. But I wonder if that's the space where is the recommendations where those types of games, like, you know,
yeah, possibly
where they lined up.
Yeah, I think their audience is still. I think they're still trying to go for, you know, if somebody decides to pick up, you know, they pick up the Spiel and they say, hey, this is really great. And then maybe they pick up the Kenner. Maybe they don't want that gap to be too big of a gap. Yeah, and I think Nova Luna, for example, or Llama to Underwater Cities would be like, what are you, what is going on? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The crew also plays more people. I don't know how much. Oh, actually, no, it plays 2 to 5 and
cartographers play
versus 1 to 4.
As many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily good if you have that many, but I think cartographers now you could play as many as you want.
So we're both guessing the crew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
And then the big one is the Spiel, which is the kind of, like you said, the family game. And you know, that's the one, if you slap the Spiel logo on it, I think you're guaranteed to have a very nice print run, your next print run.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are the nominees for that one? The first one here is My City. And I'm guessing this is the one all of us are least familiar with.
Right, yeah, because I don't think that's out.
No. It's a Reiner Knizia tile-laying city-building game with legacy elements in it. You get to add your own board and add cards over the course of like 24 plays or episodes. And I love the box for this. So, oh my goodness. I adore it.
Yeah.
It's art for it. Yeah. I love the kind of, again, it's kind of almost that watercolory look to it with floating buildings and everything. But I don't know what you've heard about this, but I very much look forward to this coming out here.
Yeah, I haven't heard much. I honestly haven't really heard much. But I'm excited for it. Like, it's Reiner Knizia, it's Legacy. If I hate it, it'll be over quickly, I think, because it's not a, you know, it's not a complicated game. So, do you know? I know Reiner Knizia is known to like not play other people's games so that it doesn't influence him. So, do you know if this is him designing a legacy game based on his idea of the concept, or do you know if he's actually played a legacy game? Have you heard anything about that?
I have not.
No, I'm curious.
Yeah, let us know, Bitzers, if you know about that. Yeah, that's a good point. That's interesting.
I'm curious. Yeah. All right, what's the next one? We've got Nova Luna, which I talked a little bit about. So it actually has the designer of Habitats on the box.
Yes, that's right.
But he didn't actually. That was just, I think, Uwe being a great person. Apparently he was like, "Oh, I haven't played it. Is it good?" So, but because it's so heavily borrows from Habitats, his name is on the box.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a abstract tiling game, and I've heard it's a mashup of Habitats and Patchwork. So I think the mashup is the habitats puzzling of trying to maximize your points where you put place the tiles, and they have to be adjacent to different colors and whatnot. And then you have scoring discs. And then the patchwork is the timing mechanism, I think. So it looks like the board is a circle, mm-hmm. a moon wheel,
yeah.
And yeah, there's some time mechanism there. I'm not sure entirely how it works, but. Yeah.
Oh, it looks nice. I definitely, yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually, because one, it's Uwe, right? So he's got a pretty good name. I mean, I think most people, if they know it's an Uwe title, they think it's worth at least a look.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been in stock at Board Game Bliss for quite a while, which is not either they got a huge shipment. Or people mm-hmm. just aren't interested or haven't heard about it. But I mean, usually a game, if it's popular, it comes in and out of stock within 24 mm-hmm. hours, less than that.
Yeah.
And this has been in stock for a really long time. So I was surprised by that, and then surprised when I saw it on the Spiel list.
Well, I seem to recall when I initially saw reviews of it that people were kind of very much meh about it. I watched a couple, I can't remember now who they were, but reviewers that I like. But I'm curious if it got nominated for this. You know, maybe it's something that needs repeated plays, or yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton, but I kind of had the same thing. Like, it just, I think I listened to a few reviews and it was a little lackluster. Mm-hmm. And then Man vs. Meeple, again, I was watching their Spiel overview video, and they were speaking very, very highly of this game. They thought it was absolutely fantastic and had a lot of depth for mm-hmm. what it was. So interesting. I was taken aback by that. I was like, oh, I think that might be the first really, really positive thing I've heard about the game. But yeah, I ended up ordering it. So yeah. I'll talk about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then a game I will hopefully talk about on the podcast, but yeah, not see other human beings to play it, is Pictures, which is, oh my gosh, if there's a game created for Sean that Sean would love, it's a game that I have no idea about. And again, it's been out for, you know, like, I think Board Game Bliss has had it for quite some time. It's a game where you're trying to copy a picture using blocks, sticks, stones, icons, cubes, and rope, and those actual things. And yeah, you're trying to copy them, pictures of them. And it just sounds like a heck of a fun party game. That seems like it would be a lot of fun and a lot of frustration involved with.
Yeah,
but I'm like super looking forward to playing this game.
It reminds me a little bit of Cranium and Concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Brings to mind those two.
Definitely.
Yeah, it sounds neat. I'm curious to see like how complicated the images are. I mean, based on the cover of the box, like there's a lighthouse and a lock on some, a fence, but there's like stuff behind it. Anyways, be interesting to see what people came up with. And like, I don't know what the blocks are like or anything, but yeah, it looks neat.
Yep.
All right. So
what do you think for this one?
I think Nova Luna maybe. I don't think, like, part of me thinks Pictures in a sense because it's like so family friendly. Mm-hmm. But when I look at if I go back to the criteria, like, I don't think it's really that original of a game at all. Mm-hmm. And I think the box might be the ugliest thing I've seen since Carpe Diem.
I agree. I feel like they could have done a lot more with the box.
It is awful. Like, there's nothing appealing about that. Does not look like it was made in the last 10 years.
Looks like something you would walk into like Goodwill and find.
Yeah.
10 million copies of.
Or like a prototype of like somebody who has no graphic design experience and just like clip arted some pictures onto it. Yeah.
No, I agree 100%.
So then it's between My City and Nova Luna. And it's hard because I've heard so little about My City.
Mm.
I feel if they're just looking for like a really good solid family game, maybe maybe a non-legacy would win over a legacy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been going back and forth. You know which one I'm gonna go just to be difficult. Especially since I really like the box, I'm just gonna go with my city. I just know this now that you can see there's like a cityscape in it, which is really cool too.
It looks really neat.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. But I do think kind of based on what I know of the spiel that I feel like Nova Luna is probably a more likely bet. But I'm gonna go with my city, just because I really love the box. So
it does have. I mean, I don't know that Nova Luna would look super interesting to somebody coming into a game store and picking it off the shelf. Whereas my city, to your point, with a box being beautiful, but also polyomino pieces. Like, I swear, somewhere along in our evolutionary history, something about polyominoes made us somehow we evolved to like polyominoes.
And
yeah,
so just looking at the recommendations, and again going back to what we talked about being in German, I was like, again, when I saw this Fox in the Forest, I was like, do they mean Fox in the Forest duet? But you know, that's been out for like 2 or 3 years, Fox in the Forest here / North America. But it was a recommendation because I'm guessing it just got, and that's a fantastic game.
That is a great game.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. That's like two co-op trick takers.
No, this is the regular Fox in the Forest. It's not a co-op game.
Oh, yeah, right. That's not right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Draftosaurus.
Which I thought you talked about Draftosaurus on the show.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I felt really flat for me, but I could see it, like, if I had not played as many games as I have, I could see it have been exciting for me. Maybe.
Little Town, I was surprised. I played that Gen Con. It's a Loki game from Yellow, so like it's in their line of like these are very basic introductory games targeted, I thought, mostly children. I guess this is one of the more advanced ones. Little Town, and then
Kitchen Rush.
I thought that's a game I thought has been out for ages.
Yeah, it says 2017 was the first.
I know they've had recent a bits, or I know kickstarted it like the second edition or something, so I get maybe, I don't know, not sure. And then Spicy looks cool. I remember when I saw the things, that's the final recommendation here. You have to go on like Amazon to get exactly Spicy. But that I think it's like another kind of trick taking ladder climbing game. I might be
looks wrong. Good to me. I'm super intrigued. It does. It looks. That's exactly what it looks like. Ladder climbing game.
I love the art on it. I have it open. When I looked it up, the art was really neat.
Yeah, the cover, for people who are not on their computers right now, following our every move, is a tiger with the blue head. It looks neat.
I will say, I feel like this year's, I feel like, you know, there's not a Quax Equipment on here. There's not like that game that, like, you know what I mean? At least that's kind of the way it feels like for both the Spiel and the Kenner Spiel, like that game that really is like a revelation. Mm-hmm. Maybe King's the limit at it, but.
I thought Tiny Towns.
Yeah,
I don't know if it, like, it was able to be nominated or. I don't know, maybe I would assume it's out in German, but maybe it's not. I thought that would be a shoo-in, like,
yeah, me too, 100%.
Hands down.
Yep.
Yeah,
all righty.
Yeah, wow. I was gonna look back at this year and kind of think what else came out that I would have made sense, but I did not. So yeah, maybe that can be another hot topic for another day.
Discuss it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at this. Sorry, I like keep going back to this Spicy game. Spicy. So it's a bluffing game. But even the cards look super cool.
Yeah,
they look really like old school.
Oh yeah, that's right. I think it reminds me of Tichu. That's why I'm thinking like ladder climbing.
Definitely, yeah. Tichu and Chimera.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right. So our predictions are: I said Nova Luna. You said My City for Spiel. For Kenner, we both thought The Crew. And for Children's Game of the Year, I'm going with the robot one.
Oh, really? Come on. The hedgehog one. It's a tennis ball with that you can roll around in Velcro. Come on.
I looked at the pictures, and now maybe I was looking at a prototype, but it looked a lot less cool on BGG than it did in my head.
I'm not going to relook. I did look at it. I'm not going to look at it, because I don't want to spoil what's going on in my head right now.
Yeah, don't. Trust me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That was our hot topic where we talked about the spiel.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on the spiel and who you think's going to win and who got snubbed. I always like hearing like the snubs, like who, you know, in addition to Tiny Town, who got snubbed.
Yeah. Who should have that?
Mm-hmm. All righty. Speaking of who should have it, spending money on...
We should have it. Because it's kicking it with Kickstarter. Wherein we kick it old school by talking about Cult of the New.
Yeah.
That is a Kickstarter that excites the hype in us. Hype.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have probably picked yours if you didn't pick mine. I would have probably picked yours if you didn't pick it. Because I'm super excited. So, therefore, you can go first.
Okay. So, my pick is Mini Express. This is a design by Mark Garretts, who also designed mini rails, steamrollers, and I think that's it. And it is published by Modeus Game Design. And the reason I back this is, one, Modeus Game Design does not usually hit retail in North America. And if it does, it's imported and expensive, so why not just back it on Kickstarter anyway? And two, I really liked Mini Rails. I actually sold Mini Rails and then repurchased it. I think that's a game where, like, when I was talking about Obtuse, where I'm like, do I really understand, like, how to really manipulate this? That game has me intrigued in that way. Mm-hmm. And I really liked how, like, they always do these, like, really nice small boxes with a lot of game.
Yep.
And I also, for some reason, even though I'm not, like, a big, I would say, like, I don't play a lot of, like, heavy train games or like 18XX games, I do get pulled in a little bit by the train theme.
Mm-hmm.
And just like what I liked about Mini Rails and what this seems to have is that simplicity of you can do like three things on your turn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, two or three things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but there's some depth there. It says it plays in 30 to 45 minutes with a weight of 2.25. Yeah. And it looks like it just builds on what's great about Mini Rails. So I backed it.
Yep.
Did you back it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
Mini Rails is I feel like Mini Rails has probably crept into my top 10 or top 15. I adore that game so much. I didn't go all the way to sell it, but it was on my for sale pile because I had played it so much at first.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, I just didn't land up selling it, and then I landed up playing it again and then being like, oh my gosh, I still love this game so much, and just kept playing it and playing it and playing mine. And yeah, this seems like it kind of like takes Mini Rails to that next step and adds a little bit more, despite the fact you're doing the exact same two things, mm-hmm. You're playing track or you're getting stock, and this kind of adds a little bit more to it. And yeah, similar to you, I don't get pulled in by the train thing. The idea of an 18XX game appeals to me, but actually playing it doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
Right? And so games like this, I feel like kind of, you know, what's that game? The recently Irish Gauge, I think, was right. Mm-hmm. What's the game that kind of had like the similar thing? They just didn't get around to playing before the lockdown. But I think this kind of gives you that similar type thing. And same thing, like I don't really like stock games, but I like them when they're simple like this, like Stockpile, like Mini Rails, you know, where they have that stock feeling to it, but it's not something where, you know, like
you feel like you're at work.
Yes, exactly, right? Like I like Age of Steam. I like Age of Steam. I enjoy the game a lot. I don't, you know, but there's like sometimes you have to like just check and go through everything and everything I've heard from these 18XX games, you're doing that but for like 8 hours or 6 hours or whatever.
Ooh.
I kind of like being able to just these two things and that's it.
Yeah. There's a beauty to that.
Yeah.
That simplicity. Yeah, yep. For sure.
So I guess on a similar theme is my game that I am strangely very interested in, and that's Pax Viking, which is from designed by John Meinker and art by Madeline Fall, I'm going to guess you say her name, published by Ion Game Designs and Sierra Madre Games. So this is the newest in the PAX line of games, and this one is specifically supposed to be an entry-level PAX game. So ever since we played PAX Premier, I've been very, very interested in these types of games. But again, kind of, the theme hasn't really, you know, because a lot of the PAX games are set in, like, Renaissance-type things. Michelle. But this one is my
Tell me more.
The reason I really enjoyed the PAX game that we played is because it was dripping with all this theme about the Afghan War and all this great information to it. And this one is set in a Viking time. So it seems like it's very much, it's similar in that it's using area majority and card drafting to it. And then it's got like an economic engine. So this was another game that I backed. I think the Kickstarter is closed, but I think the whatchamacallit is going to be opening soon, the pledge manager. So I think people can late pledge to it. And I won't lie, I'm, you know, I think it's much like all the other PAX games, can be a little bit difficult to get at retail. But B, I wanted the coins.
I understand. I support your decision.
I'm sure you do. No, I was like, and I still honestly haven't decided. Like, I backed it at the dollar level, but purchased the coins.
Okay.
I'm like, can I just wait and buy this on the secondary market? But I really want to make sure I get those coins because the coins are going to be really hard to go, but to get. But I think I am going to just, back it completely.
Are they the same coins as what was in PAX Premier? Because Bliss has the coins on pre-order.
I think they're different.
It would make sense that they're different.
Yeah, I think they look really cool. I'll say that they look really cool.
Now I have to look it up.
I know, as we're doing it. They also, this was attached to PAX Renaissance. There is a late pledge now. This was attached to also PAX Renaissance Second Edition, which I know some people are familiar with, as well. I'm gonna look at this here. No, I lied. I did actually back the whole game. Just looking at.
Cool. I think I'm looking at the right coins. They are very, very nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of got me interested in it because, again, we're shallow here at All the Bits.
We do love All the Bits.
We do, yes. And, you know, if you could get those coins and not have to deal with chit coins, you should get those coins.
Right.
And I figure, yeah, as I usually find with these types of games, it's often harder to get the add-ons, like the coins in the game themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I gotta do this. I gotta get the coins.
Have to.
Yeah, I have to make sure I get those coins.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm glad your priorities are straight.
Yeah. Yep.
Well done. Cool.
Yes.
All right. Is that an episode?
We did it. We got our spiel episode.
Did another thing. Yeah, the obligatory spiel episode. Hopefully the bitsers aren't too worn out on hearing about the spiel.
I don't know. See, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of like underwhelmed this year with them. I don't know. I'll have to think about it more. Carpe Diem was nominated last year.
It was, yeah. Which is kind of surprising, actually.
I think part of it is looking at last year's awards just really quickly, like for the spiel, like Just One and Llama are like two of my most played games.
Yeah, they're both really good.
And they're amazing games. And obviously Wingspan was the winner last year. And Wingspan is one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
You too as well, right?
Yeah.
And then the previous year, same thing. Like Gonshon Clever, Heaven and Ale, Quacks of Quedlinburg for the Connoisseur
game. Yeah, that's huge.
I adore, right? And Azul, Luxor, and The Mine are the nominees for the Spiel. And those are all also highly played games that I really like. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I am feeling a bit down on it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not super excited by it either. Surprise, though. Like some years it's like, yeah, we all knew Wingspan was coming.
Yeah.
I knew the crew was going to come. But King's Dilemma surprised me. Nova Luna City, My City. I didn't even know My City was out.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Well, we'll see. We might be looking back on it next year and being like, this was the most amazing crop of games ever.
Well, the crew. I mean, I think we'll look back at the crew and cartographers and go, yeah, those were really solid games. And maybe we'll love My City when it finally hits our
stores. That's very true.
But I hear you. All right, folks. Well, before we close out the show, we want to say thanks again to our amazing listener. Sean is making weird faces at me right now. And our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing you to joy to you and your loved ones. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcast. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.